There we go. Can everybody raise your hand if you can hear me? Thank you, thank you.
So that's just going to be charging. I'm not going to see people. I'm just looking.
Okay. All right. We do have a quorum, correct? Dave McCullough's on, right? Yep, there's Dave. Okay, Michelle, we do have a quorum, and John and Greg are still trying to log on as we speak, but it is 6:37, and I'd like to start the May 4th City Council meeting right now. First of all, I'd just like to highlight and say that to reduce the spread of the COVID-19, the Lake Quivira governing body will be utilizing Zoom, an online meeting tool, to conduct its regularly scheduled meeting tonight at 6:30 p.m., Monday, May 4th, 2020. The public is invited to watch the live broadcast of the meeting using the necessary Zoom information that has been distributed. During this time of health emergency, the governing body will be prudent with its business agenda and will not be accepting public comments during the meeting. Okay? And just so everybody knows, we had no public comments received by the city clerk as of noon today. So we're going to stand up and do the Pledge of Allegiance and then have John Blessing do a quick presentation. So if everybody stand up. All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, thanks everybody. I'd like to welcome John Blessing from Waste Management. He emailed us a few days ago. He's got some information for the city. I think basically just talking about what their protocol is regarding coronavirus and everything that's going on. So, John, it's all yours.
Thank you. I hope everyone can hear me. I will make this as quick as possible. I do appreciate your time. Before I share my screen with the presentation, I did want to just address a couple of things that I know is on everybody's mind. One is the bulk item cleanup event. I asked some questions internally. Right now, we're still kind of following the local county stay-at-home orders when we're making that decision. I think that goes on for another week. Some areas are looking to postpone that, so it's still a little bit of a fluid situation. I'm crossing my fingers, and this isn't official, but I think we're going to come out of that month. So stay tuned as far as that goes. The local orders aren't the only thing impacting us, of course, so is managing our workforce, which I have been told we have a large number of employees on the frontline workforce that have either been tested or told, and as a result of that, they're under mandatory medical quarantine. So what happens there, you know, taking care of that employee is the easy part. Replacing that employee and their contribution is the hard part, and I know there's been a couple of service issues that pop up, and they're very strange. Not one person here or there is like an entire street. And really that is because we are moving people around. As some of those unfortunate employees are unable to work, we're continuing to provide the service, but it's with somebody that maybe is, you know, in a different truck, in a different area. So that's happening a little bit as far as some of those things go. Before I jump into the presentation, are there any questions pertaining to any of that?
Hey, John, it's me, Erin Lundy, the city administrator. I just wanted to double check with you real quick. But we do have those residents calling us, or Kathy especially, wanting to know, hey, I missed a pickup. what do I do about that? Is the easiest way to do to email you? Is there a phone number to call? Can you kind of walk through what the easiest way to get that resolved?
Sure, you've got some options. You can make a call to the call center. You can inform the resident to make a call to the call center. If you don't want to go through that process, you can email me. And I'm getting through all of my emails in day. So if I get an email from you that this address or this area is missed, then I'm contacting our office that day.
Okay, perfect. Because I think we had one resident. There were two that have kind of occurred around the same time. We went on a Path-Teacher lease, and I think we kind of figured out what that one was. There was another one on Terrace Trail West in that weird area where the construction is with the alley. There's one resident there who has missed a pickup a couple weeks in a row, and I think the email that Kathy sent might have gotten lost in the shuffle. But I'll have her, or Kathy's listening now. She can contact you, and we can try to get that figured
out. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Then I'm going to share my screen so you can see this presentation. Hopefully. Okay, there we go. So I'm hoping you can see that, correct? No. Okay, what about now?
Yep.
Yeah.
You see the presentation? Okay, good deal. It should be on the welcome page. Awesome, perfect. So I will advance the next slide here and pull this up. Give me just a moment. Oops. Okay, here we go. So this page just really kind of goes over some of the things that we've done where we were deemed an essential service. So we had that responsibility, and that means addressing solving some of the problems that immediately came up. We saw residential volumes skyrocket, and then our commercial volumes fluctuate, either, you know, going up for some businesses, but unfortunately for the majority of our commercial customers, they're on a rapid decline, and that has been happening on a week-to-week basis. In fact, we've never spoken so frequently with our commercial customers. As their volumes fluctuate, we're trying to meet their needs so nobody's paying for a service that they don't utilize, and that we have the labor to service them. So it's been a challenging, but being deemed that essential service was something we took very seriously. Serving and protecting our employees, this is one that I'm very proud of, where we have been following the respective guidelines from the health organizations. If you go to the office, you'll see, like you probably see a lot of the grocery stores, the social distancing tape marks every 6 feet around the place. So we are doing everything we can to keep the social distancing on the frontline employees that have been to the office. One of the things that I'm very proud of working for Waste Management is they have guaranteed a 40-hour work week for every employee, regardless of what happens pertaining to this situation. So those aforementioned employees that are on medical quarantine, you know, their paychecks are secure. We also extended our child and elder care programs without any cost to the employees. So mainly child care for employees that had their daycare shut down as a result of this. And of course, we've got hand sanitizer and all the good sanitation items at the office as well. Serving our customers, I mentioned that the residential volumes have increased, being called an essential service. We took that very seriously, so we knew there were going to have to be some changes that we wanted to implement immediately. So we did not falter in providing what is being deemed essential, and that was the carted trash, carted recycling, and the yard waste. So you may have seen some trucks out on the street longer. Some services got suspended. And again, we've had just constant communication with the ever-fluctuating commercial customer base. Some solutions focused on service. This is just kind of a summary page. It's really kind of cool that we were able to invest in some technology and moved all of our staff off-site. I mean, we knew that there were going to be some solutions to the support employees that we could put into place. Our entire call center was shut down, I think, for 8 days and then reopened with every employee working from home. With all of that technology, I mean, that was quite an accomplishment. We suspended any service cutoffs for bad pay or non-payments. Just, it's the right thing to do during this time period. So everybody is receiving service, you know, regardless of their account status. All of the support staff, which I'm included in, have been given the ability to work from home and to VPN in. So we're staying out of the office as much as possible and keeping that space for those frontline employees. Communication, there's a couple of links here that we put on our webpage. We want everyone to understand, you know, the do's and don'ts that are coming down from the government and the local areas, which we're challenged with that. We're trying to not only comply with state regulations, but, you know, my last count, I think I touched about 7 counties, which everybody had a little bit of a different rule and regulation on what they can and can't do. So we're juggling all of those things. Really, really rely on our partnership with each municipality in getting the communication out. You guys have gotten some email blasts from myself, all of the information we're giving out. Because let's be honest, people were already used to following their municipality's website or social media site. No one's following their trash provider's website. So getting you the information really helped us get it out to the population. This is a slide just to again touch on the importance of recycling. We have seen a slight increase in demand, which is fantastic news when we're talking about a recycling industry that has been struggling. So many people are ordering from Amazon. The cardboard is piling up. A lot of the services that are making the hand sanitizers and the masks, they have, we've seen an uptick in their demand in recycling commodities, which again, anything that will help improve the recycling industry, we really want to encourage, as we've had these conversations for the past couple of years on the impact of that industry. So what does that mean? It's just another reminder that we got to make sure that we're keeping our recycling clean, which means don't recycle anything that could be contaminated, right? Gloves and masks and that kind of stuff. Supporting the community, you know, I always like to use the line that we're more than a service provider, we're a community partner, and so these are some things that I'm very proud of. Waste management on a national level put the goal out there to provide 1 million meals to neighbors and those that were negatively impacted by the pandemic. You can see some information there. Our corporate matched every dollar that the employees donated. There's some figures in there of over $189,000, about 1.9 million meals that we were able to donate in the Million Meal Campaign, which I know some other companies participated in as well. Here locally, for the hauling site, we've done some very creative social distancing buffet lines, bringing in breakfast for our employees, those that have to get up in the morning and still risk their safety to come out and drive trucks. So we've done that a lot. I attended one just to show my support, and they were very appreciative of it, although no one could get close enough to really talk about it. The next steps, really just continuing to communicate. I had mentioned some of our crystal ball work, looking at when we think these stay-at-home orders are going to be relaxed, which will hopefully impact some of the service suspensions that we've had to lay out there. Again, that also impacts our labor force. But I want to remain open as your liaison. We've got a great line of communication through your clerk and your county or your city administrator. whenever there's issues, but again, I'm always available. And then we've actually used this opportunity to try to improve some service. We're able to improve some issues with our technology, because now more than ever, we're realizing that we should be able to just tell the truck where to go with technology. And that way, no matter who's behind the wheel, they know where to go. Because as I mentioned before this, we're having to move some people around due to some labor impacts. And it has given us the opportunity to tweak that technology. So we're hoping that we're able to come out of this a little bit better than when we went into it, as well as auditing all of our addresses. There it is. In our system is correct. So trying to take, you know, a bad situation and find some positive benefits. Not a very long presentation. Really just kind of wanted to touch on a few things there to kind of we've been going through and what we've been doing. Stop sharing. There we go. So, and we really appreciate your understanding and the line of communication that we have. That's all that I have for you. Stay tuned. I have a feeling that this is going to be a big communication month, hopefully as we take our first steps back to normalcy. But with that, I'll end it, and if there's any questions, I can take those now.
No, John, thanks for everything you do, especially here in the last few weeks with those yard waste dumpsters. You've helped me out a couple times there. I appreciate it. So thank you for that. And yeah, I can't think of any other questions. Anybody else? We have talked about a large item trash pickup day. I think we're going to move the coinciding Fred Braun day to the fall, but we're still looking at a large item trash pickup day, maybe in June, depending on how everything plays out. So we don't have a date. Gail and I will talk about it. We'll figure something out, but that's kind of our plan.
Sure. And with your curbside collection, we can still continue to plan for that. Those are a little more challenging because of the labor that they require. There are options out there where if we need to supplement that with placing roll-off boxes out, we can do that as well. It just kind of depends on what the labor looks like at the time. I know the roll-off boxes aren't a very attractive alternative because it requires people to move their stuff to a location that is. But just keep that in mind that if we need to do that, we can.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. Well, thanks for the presentation. Sounds like you guys are doing well and being responsible.
Trying to. It's been a challenge to spend all day in my spare bedroom with my children running around and getting work done.
Yep. We're all there. Okay. Well, thanks, John.
Well, absolutely. Thank you very much. Have a great night.
You too. We'll be in touch. Okay. Due to the current health emergency, the governing body will not be accepting open public comments during tonight's meeting. As I said previously, we did not get any emails sent in before noon today. So let's go on to consider the approval of minutes. Has everybody had a chance to look over those? I'm sure a few of you have.
I do want to make an amendment to the minutes before we approve them on my city council report.
Okay.
Just a small but significant change to the first and the last sentence. The first sentence should read, Council President Christie reintroduced the topic of a non-discriminatory ordinance, which had been discussed in a previous city council meeting. And then just for clarity for the minutes, the last sentence should read, discussion ensued among the council and everyone indicated they were in agreement with moving forward with additional discussion on this topic.
Okay, so you want to change it to say non-discriminatory ordinance. What do you want to change at the bottom again?
Just adding at the end of it that where it says in agreement with moving forward, I think we add with more discussion on this topic versus someone potentially interpreting moving forward as if action is being taken.
Okay. I got you. I've got a motion to amend the minutes. Have a second?
Second.
That was Dave's second. Okay, any discussion? Anybody have any questions about this? Okay. All those in favor, you're going to have to unmute. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, those opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Mayor, if I can just clarify, this is Michelle Day, city attorney. If I can just clarify that that is approval, that motion would approve the amended minutes as opposed to just approving an amendment to. I know it's a very tiny distinction, but just want to clarify that the actual amended minutes have been approved.
So
much as I need to move, if you could do a second motion just so it's clear. I'm sorry, I should have
had
that previously.
So say motion carries to approve the amended minutes?
That'll work.
Okay.
As long as there's no objections to that.
Okay.
And also, just as a reminder, I know it's hard to remember, if everybody will just state your name each time you speak, that'd be great.
Oh, good reminder. I forgot about that. Yeah.
You do forget. Thanks.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys. We're going to move on to the treasurer's report. Aaron Lucky.
Hopefully everyone was able to get on the internet and see the treasurer's report. For the month, we were 23% above budget, all due to the sale of the fire truck, brings us to 2.4% above budget for the year. For expenses, we were 42% over budget. A lot of that is due to the Optate project because we have not asked for reimbursement from Johnson County. Brings us to 90% over the year, which is pretty much the exact amount that we are going to be asking Johnson County for related to that project. Since it's a smaller project, just a reminder, we decided that it would probably be best to just wait until all of the invoices are in for it, and we're still waiting for one regarding the electrical, which I'm sure Bill will go more into during his part. We were below budget for tax revenues through our sales and use. This was February's detail. We're a little bit below budget for our franchise fees. I received a letter in the mail this month from Evergy stating that due to the current COVID-19 situation that those numbers would be lower than what we had budgeted, but they couldn't give us a ballpark yet for what that would be. And then, of course, we were below budget on court fines, no court, and not a lot of tickets. Moving on to the check detail, wanted to point out a couple on page 3 in particular. There's two on there, B.F. Anderson, and then the Olson right below it, both related to the Duck Coast project. Keep going to the next page. Mac and Annie is also related to the Duck Cove project. All of those have been paid back by Q Inc. already, as you will see on page 1 of the deposit detail. A couple other just to point out, we paid the jams and glass bills for the new front door on page 4 as well. We paid the City of Shawnee for their building inspections, and that normally covers the entire year, so we shouldn't be seeing much more from them. That covers 2019. And then pointing out a couple on page 5, like I had talked about, you'll see the Opti RTC, Andy's Foundation, and Agrid Rain, which are all related to the Opti project. And then just one little final one I wanted to point out was Roger Brown, if anyone was wondering about that one. It was a $1,000 commission that we paid to the man who helped us find the contact to sell the fire truck. And then just looking at the deposit detail, like I said on page 1, there's the repayment and queuing. So you will only see our repayment from Johnson County and then that check being sent over to Q8 when we receive it, but otherwise we're paid up from them on that. And then you'll also see on that page 1 the check from A&N Investment on the deposit at the bottom of the page, and that was the payment from the fire truck. There were no journal entries for the month, and I think that's about it. Does anyone have any questions for me?
With court being canceled or postponed, delayed, in April and May, I mean, do you see significant revenue coming from those two dates in June, or probably not?
For April and May, possibly, because this is more of a Fred and Cassidy, but I know we're a couple months behind usually for the court payments, so that would be covering like January, February time period. But I would assume, like I said, more for Fred, but I would assume given the current circumstances that we probably are not writing the same amount of tickets or things like normal.
Yeah.
Just not seeing traffic out and about.
Right. Okay. Any other questions about the treasurer's report? Bill, you had mentioned that Opti was going over budget just a little bit, but I guess you can talk about that during your area. So yeah, I don't have any questions. Anybody else?
Did you sell the hovercraft too, or was it just the truck?
Yeah, we sold the
hovercraft.
$3,000.
Without a commission on that one, since technically the commission would go to Brady, but I don't think we should pay the mayor for that.
No,
$1.
It was a contact to Chief Stephan, so and that was something that we talked about in the previous council and mayor with some sort of commission. So we're just glad to get rid of it. A little bittersweet, but you know, it was just sitting there. The hovercraft we sold for $3,000. I know you guys took the fire truck off our insurance plan. I don't even know what sort of insurance we had for that hovercraft, but if maybe Kathy can contact them, just to make sure we don't let them know we no longer own it. So, okay. Any other questions for Aaron about the treasurer's report or anything else? Okay. Thanks, Aaron. So can I just initial this treasurer's report? Can't remember how we did it last month.
And, et cetera.
Okay.
So this is Dave McCullough. I make a motion to approve the treasurer's report.
Got a motion. We have a second.
It's Annie Nolan. I second it.
All right. Second by Annie. Any discussion from anybody? Okay, you're going to have to unhit mute. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, those opposed?
Mayor, is Grace, do we have all five members?
I believe so. Everybody's still here, right? Yeah, Gail, yeah, okay.
Okay.
All right, so motion carries. Treasurer report is approved unanimously.
And then I figured we'll do budget stuff towards the end.
Okay. I did initial that. All right. Thanks, Aaron. Bill Cole, Smack, Opti, whatever you got.
Just a set of updates. I gave this to Kathy, so I'll go down the list with her, so she'll be able to do the minutes. Basically, the dam and spillway update. John had asked me about that to say, where are we in terms of inspection? We have to complete all of the items noted by the engineer by April of 2021. So there are a few things that we're holding off on to see if there's other issues that would come up and we can combine them with work. The spillway is operating well with the current rains. If you looked at what occurred today, that's exactly what Opti is going to be designed to. It's not going to fix completely, but it will help out. Hopefully, we'll have it done next couple of a few days or back. I don't know anything where I get to Opti. The leak self-fixed itself, John's magic. He and I looked at it long enough and waited. The leak at the gate on the spillway has self-fixed itself, and hopefully it will continue to not be an issue. It was very small when it was there. We held off doing it until after the spring rains, and it has stopped. We've talked about some things dealing with the spillway. Mayor and myself, and I presented last time, just in general, a concept of doing something special with it. If we are going to do that in 2021, there's some steps we need to go through in 2020. And I think the best way would be to have some type of flowway. So the reason we have to do something different is our spillway plan is designed to basically break out the old spillway and replace it with exactly what we have there. If we want to change that at all, we have to do the planning around that change. Probably not quite as extensive as the cost of the one we had originally, but at least make sure it's clearly understood by the state and it meets with their approval. So that's one of the things we need to think about, council-wise or even as a community-wise, if that's necessary, or do we want to stick with what we have, fix it like it is, and go from there. That's a major thought process, Mr. Mayor, that we need to look at somehow. A few more things on the spillway. The horizontal leaks in the spillway we've left till the very end, and we'll try and fix them next spring prior to inspection because it is working as well. They are not substantial, and as you see them, they're the horizontal ones. One of the reasons for that is if we choose to do a different type of fix or do the fix before April, everything we inject today is wasted in the future because we'll have to be removing the upper 4 inches of the current spillway to get down to the correct concrete structure that we had there originally. So the spray on concrete that we did in the late 90s is the part that has to be removed, and there's no need to fix it temporarily, especially with that expensive. Okay, something else to think about in terms of the larger project. As you go over the dam bridge, the area that goes over the spillway, if you look at the wall that holds up the corner where the stop sign is, that wall is deteriorating, and this is over years. This is a right-of-way has to be fixed on both sides. As you see, it's been hit once on one side, and there have been some cosmetic changes that have been done to it. But we need to think about, is there a way to get two birds with one stone and fix both retaining that wall where the road is at the stop sign, at the same time we fix the spillway? I don't have an answer to that question, but again, it should be part of the discussion. Now, it's going through a number of the other listed items that are on there. Thanks to John Nelson for getting them to mow the lower dam. How far I think it was, and I will stay maintained. Because it was beginning to grass up again. Now, what structure issues we've talked about? We have no the state of Kansas on bridges in Woodhead, but they must also remember the responsibility to have our bridges inspected. And those bridges are the main bridge down on Holiday, the spillway bridge over the spillway, and in back at the retention pond. That culvert is considered a bridge. Those are the three main ones. We have two other smaller ones. But all the bridges in the state of Kansas should be inspected on this. We have not gotten into that cycle yet. And the ball is in the state's court to get back with us when they have finished some of the two-hour period. Emergency notification did not have to occur, but it would be a situation where we need to get it fixed. So the example to fix that, the way we're going to fix that is Overland Park has a system in place for all of their bridges in the low-lying areas, and we're going to try and align with them to get some price differential would be better. They have ours serviced and operated within their emergency notification people, and I will get back with the council, I hope, by the next meeting. I wanted to wait until we got Opti finished before we addressed that issue. So, all right, this mandate opened, and I believe we have enough. The electrician today. He was to start on about 4 more days of work to get it finished and installed.
Oh, thank you.
We can hear you now, Gail.
Okay. It must be, I was in my office, and sometimes I have
you're right, Gail?
Connection
cell connection issues in there. And I kept trying to talk, but nobody was paying attention to me. So now I'm in the kitchen trying to figure out where I'm going to sit. So.
I'll be finishing up that discussion, if that's okay, Gail.
Sure, yeah.
Thank you. We have the dirt work done. We have the Opti installation in place. We have the connection underground made to the pole. And now it's in the electrician's hands to run the wire, hang the solar panel, hang the control bay, and hang the the battery backup, and get the motor set up so that it can be operated by Opti when and where necessary. I've been told that that's about a 3 to 4 day process. Then there's a 1 week of commissioning that needs to occur, and then we should be ready to use it on a regular basis. That will include, I think, 3 or 4 people who will be capable of looking at a screen and seeing what Opti is doing. I would assume John, Aaron, Fred, and the mayor are probably the 4 people that need to be in that position so that we can communicate lake levels and other information to people. We cannot use that. For the emergency notice level on the budget. I don't know where Burnsmack got the, I think it's $11,000 is the range that they have for the entire work. But we had to move an awful lot of dirt, and I don't think anybody didn't do what they were supposed to do. But we've already paid the $14,000 or so to Ricky for all of the work that was necessary to have it installed. The line was run as cheaply as we can, $1,400 for that. I do not have any idea what the electrical bill is going to be, so I'm hoping that we're under 20. For this is a stormwater maintenance function that they have a fund for. At the same time, I think we're still within range of where we should be. Last, we can ask the county for more money with the sales tax. $19 that were committed for this, so they may have funds left over in that for it. So, to be determined.
Hey, Bill, this is John Nelson. A couple things on that overrun. Aaron filed the last Duck Cove reimbursement. We actually came in $55,000 under budget on what the county had approved. So there's some money there. And depending on how it ends up, I'd have no problem taking something to the board, queuing board, if we need to. Yeah, we do have contingency reserves for road and stormwater. But let's just look at it if it's okay there after we get all the calls.
Excellent.
Yep.
Because, I mean, it benefits us as well as the city, so.
That works for me.
John, I noticed one thing today. Our 60-mile-an-hour wind took off the top.
Top of the agri drain?
We're in the middle of we just have to figure out some type of more secure especially trying to make sure we keep our kids over with the lockup kind on the top. So
I think it's
that thing would have left anyway. We need to get it fixed.
I'll get with you an hour.
Is he still on the one working on?
Yeah.
Greg, that's any questions? Thank you, John. If we needed a demonstration of why this matters, thank me. The last 2 weeks would be it.
Okay.
The more mud we can keep out of lake, the longer we'd have to delay the drainage.
Yeah. You, at least on my end, Bill, you were kind of breaking up, for me, but you and I have talked about this. So if he was breaking up for anybody else, does anybody have questions on some of the things he was talking about? Kathy, anybody?
No.
Is it important to know what flew off today in the winds on the
Everything?
Okay.
No.
Then no.
Okay, well, I guess then stay tuned. Right there, Bill?
Yes, that's correct. Thanks, and I'm going to drop off you all in a great evening.
Thanks, I like the beard.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to Police Chief Fred Grenier, Police Chief report.
Can you hear me from Brady's microphone at all? I don't want to feedback. Can you guys hear me okay? Nod yes? No?
I'm getting a lot of no's.
It sounds like he's 50 feet away from
I just didn't want to let you feedback. Hopefully that doesn't cause it.
Everybody received my monthly report. If you have
any questions
over that.
No questions. Update on the police car. Started the outfit on it. I'd say about 60% done. Still waiting on new parts to come in, partitions, stuff like that. Bathroom remodels. I'd say that's probably close to 80% done. They look great. So I don't know if anybody has questions on any of that, or we can touch on that when the time comes later in the meeting.
Yeah, Brady Lilger here. Bathrooms do look great. Fred's really been putting in a lot of hours. Gail, you did a great job picking out selections. I think it's kind of just what we were looking for. I'd also like to say that I've seen the side-by-side out a couple times here. One, they were towing a golf cart out by over by the waterfalls, by the soccer fields one day. And then I think next police report, there was somebody who was stranded on a steep, muddy hillside, and Fred was able to utilize a side-by-side with some help from residents and use the winch and get this gentleman up the hill. He was tired and full of mud and not in great shape. And Fred did what he always does. He dropped what he was doing, and he took off over there with the side-by-side and did what needed to be done. So thanks again for all you do. Appreciate it all. Any questions for Fred on his police report or anything? Okay. All right. One other thing I'd like to add. Fred does a lot of the retrofitting and stuff for the Lansing Police Department. And he is saving us between the bathroom and the fitting of the new police car. He's saving us quite a bit of money. So thanks, Fred, and everybody else. Next time you see him, say thanks.
Thank you for your kind words.
Anything else for Chief? Okay. Thanks, Fred.
Yep.
Fire Chief report. Got rid of the fire truck, got rid of the hovercraft. There's some hoses that we're going to hang on to, some other equipment we're going to hang on to, but we're really just trying to consolidate everything that's left. There's a big old hose heater. It's ancient and heavy that is probably junk, and then the compressors and some other things, but it's coming along. So hopefully in a month or so we kind of have it cleaned, organized, and maybe we can start brainstorming ideas. Go ahead.
Great. When we bought the new police car, were we using some of the funds from the fire truck sale?
I don't think we were planning on selling the truck at some point, but we didn't know when. So, Aaron?
We have not really budgeted that way or accounted for it that way. We have $30,000 in the police car reserve, so we used that, and then the excess came out of new replacement equipment budget line. But if we needed to, we now have that to kind of cover some of the overage.
Okay. Any other questions? It's always a joy to talk to you, Marcus, but he came in and showed the guy how to run everything, and they cleaned the hovercraft and did all that. So, again, if you see Mark around, just tell him thanks. He didn't have to come out and do that on two different occasions. So thank him next time you see him. All right. Kathy, do you have anything under City Clerk's report?
No.
Okay. Kathy has nothing under City Clerk's report. City Attorney Michelle. Michelle has nothing. Moving on. What's that?
Nothing. I couldn't get it unmuted, so.
I saw you shaking your head. Okay. Let's see. We're going to go to the mayor's report. Had a lot of meetings here recently. I'm going to let John talk about the meeting we had with members of Q Inc. and Mother's Club and Summer Rec and all that stuff, talking about 4th of July. I'll have John go into that. But that was a good meeting. I thought it was very productive. At that point we had the meeting, there were still a lot of unknowns. Now that we kind of have a grasp on where this is kind of going every 2 weeks, I think it'll be easier to plan and figure out how we're going to do all of our summer activities. Also met with Eric Vosman from Q Inc. and Dr. Alan Greiner, who's the chief medical officer for Wyandotte County. He's been on TV quite a bit. He's also a Lake Quivira resident. So we met with him just to kind of pick his brain on what he thought was going to happen, how it was going to open up. Again, very good meeting. I know Eric and John got together to go over just every single situation that includes every building. Most of this is Q Inc. Q Inc. was nice enough to include City Hall as one of those buildings. So Kathy will email you a draft that John Nelson and Eric came up with based on our questions and meeting with Alan Greiner. I emailed that to her tonight, so she'll probably email it to you guys tonight or first thing in the morning. But I'd like you all to read it, especially the City Hall section, which is at the very bottom. See if there's anything that you can think of that needs to be added. I even asked Kathy to include Aaron and Fred and herself on it. But we're kind of in a hurry. So if you can maybe look at it tomorrow and try and have any changes or suggestions back to me within, I don't know, what do you think, John, 24 or 48 hours? Or?
Yeah, if we could have everything back actually by Wednesday, like we talked, Brady, this is John Nelson, by the way. I talked with Brady. What we'd like to do is to send it out Thursday, Friday, of course, at the very latest, as a joint distribution for both the city and Quivira Inc. It's basically kind of a guideline what will happen each of the next 2 weeks moving forward, what changes will take place and how we do business.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're helping us out tremendously, so let's help them out and read over those and give any suggestions or questions to them so we can get this all done in a timely manner and be ready for, what is it, the 11th, I guess. Okay. Next on my list was fire truck and hovercraft. We already talked about that. Holiday Drive. I've had some luck with Wyandotte County. Margaret Bowker through J.E. Dunn works with Wyandotte County quite a bit. Put me in touch with a guy named Mike Tobin. So I've been in touch with three of their public works higher ups. We are going to meet out there Wednesday. They are aware of it, and they've admitted that simple patching and milling that they've done in the past is not going to work. They thought that we already had a bid, an actual written, described, detailed bid from Olson, and what we had from Olson was basically just his opinion and approximate cost. So, I said, we're willing to help out with some of this stuff. Most importantly, we just need to get moving. Margaret was great for us because she had a story, a bad experience on that section of road, and expressed her feelings in that email to Wyandotte County. I know Greg's done the same thing, so, we just need to figure it out. Hopefully by Wednesday we have a plan and they can get going fast. Okay. Questions on that? Okay. Another meeting we had, we're going to go ahead and talk about it. Fred, you might want to turn your volume up. Annie and I and members of Q Inc., John was there, safety and security, Fred was there, got together to talk about security around Lake Quivira, specifically this summer. Doesn't sound like Q Inc. is planning on having any security. Is that correct, John?
Right. Well, we have the security at the front gate. We're just not, there's no budgeted security for car or boat patrol.
Okay.
And it just wasn't cost effective. It basically accomplished nothing because they didn't do anything.
Right. So for those of you that are used to seeing a police car, a city police car, and a Lake Quivira security patrol car like we have in years past, that probably won't happen this year. And so the idea was just to meet and talk about what we can do going forward and if it was something that the city could handle as a police force. And this has been brought up in the past, and it seems like the sticking point always is that, you know, Fred can drive around and he can you know, enforce the law, but he can't enforce a rule. He can't enforce a Q Inc. rule or an HOA rule. For example, if he sees a kid that's 10 years old driving a golf cart on a private road, he can't do anything to enforce that rule. He can say something to the kid, but he can't enforce it. Now, if the kid is drinking a beer and driving recklessly, then he's breaking the law. Then Fred can, you know, make a stop and have some pull there. But with Lake Quivira being, you know, almost completely private property, it comes to, you know, how do we work around that? Because the city and Fred, none of us want to get sued by some 12-year-old kid's mom or dad because, you know, a police officer enforced a Q Inc. rule. It's just one of those situations where, you know, we thought, we need to get Michelle involved. We need to get Q Inc. Attorney involved, Pete Heaven, and see if there's any possible way to do this. So that's kind of where we left it. Annie, do you want to add anything to our meeting, or John? Tough one. Fred, anything to add to what I said? Or?
No, I think you covered most of it. It's the biggest concern are the liabilities that could be imposed to the city, as well as the expenditures of taxpayer funds to a private entity in itself. Those are the hurdles that I don't really think we're going to be able to overcome, but if we find out otherwise, we'll explore that.
Yeah, did everybody hear that? I forgot to mention that. That was another thing that we hadn't really thought about, was that, you know, possibly bring in one or two extra officers on, and we'd be spending more money, taxpayer money, like Fred just said, for private, you know, private property, essentially. So, Michelle, any thoughts, feedback on this?
Yeah, there are only certain laws that law enforcement can enforce on private property. Rules set by a private entity are not the same as laws. They're not put into place through the same process as the city's ordinances. And as a result, our police department cannot enforce those. And I couldn't hear super well what Fred just said there, but I think he mentioned so much as the liability, and there are just things associated with that that we certainly need to be concerned about, because in order for a law enforcement officer to get up and you know, deal with the situation, there needs to be probable cause in order to have that conversation and deal with the situation. And if it's not related to a law, again, it would be inappropriate for them to be involved in that situation. And it would just be like any other private property owner just choosing to make a list of rules for their property and ask the city's police department to enforce it. In that situation, certainly that wouldn't be allowed. It's no different with the Q Inc. rules. Now, again, there are certain laws that the police department can enforce on private property, like Q Inc. property or any other entity, the laws that can be enforced. But my understanding is what we're talking about for example are truly just rules as opposed to ordinances of the city. So I have a lot of concerns about asking our police officers to try and distinguish that and try and enforcing things that are they aren't authorized to enforce. And then you've also mentioned something as well that just you know uses tax dollars. Oftentimes you'll see law enforcement officers who are working off duty in private businesses. In those circumstances, those police officers are being compensated by the private entity. And my understanding is you know, based on what I know at this point in time, I really don't think it's appropriate to ask more officers to be enforcing something, not then pass it and
okay, you're kind of breaking up there. At least for me again. So repeat that last thing. To you, it's not.
Why don't everybody mute real quick and then bring on one by one.
Perfect.
All right,
can you hear me now?
Yep.
Sounds like a commercial. Not sure which part you missed there, but I just, again, based on the information that I have now, my understanding is that the request would be that our police officers enforce rules throughout the summer that are implemented by Q Inc. And it's just not something that's, again, unless I get more information, it's just not something that's appropriate. If it's not an ordinance that's been adopted by the city council, that's what our police officers are hired to do, is to enforce laws, not rules, on private property. So again, and I just want to make sure that this was clear. On private property, but those are laws are enacted by legislative function, not by a private entity.
Gotcha. How's it doing that? Okay, in your opinion, Michelle, is it worth looking into? I mean, we're talking June 1st for our next meeting. If you were to get together with Pete Heaven or somebody from Q Inc.
You know, I'd certainly be happy to visit it just to make sure I'm understanding
what that
request is. Hang on. I'd be happy to visit, find out what the request is, find out if there's any.
Okay. John, what about you?
Police officer. officer versus what we used to have changes the pattern of behavior, whether it's in a golf cart or Stripe, you know, just whatever. And I guess that's the approach I've taken. And Michelle, I don't know if a discussion with Pete Heaven and, you know, the cost involved and all that is worth it, because you know the answer. We've been told it before. And Fred's been through this discussion probably more times than he cares to think. So I don't know, Brady, if we can talk more later, but I think I would like to, not now, but the possibility of just expanded police coverage due to the possibility of another officer on those critical times in a car.
So, okay. John, can I just, Gail, can I ask a question of both you and Michelle, maybe? So I think I heard Michelle say that if we had an off-duty police person, that person could, if they were working on, well, what would allow an off-duty policeman be able to do more than what an on-duty policeman could do? Is that because it would look like they were working for Q Inc., or was that because it sounds like, John, you were talking about if we just use an on-duty policeman, so there's two people patrolling the area, that would maybe make an impression on people. But is there a difference between an off-duty policeman and an on-duty policeman? I guess I would ask Michelle this.
There is, Michelle. There is, and Fred may want to speak this a little bit too. But you'll see a lot of times when you go to any store that has security, oftentimes they'll use off-duty police officers. And Fred and I have talked about this at sporting events. Anytime you see a police officer who's working in his capacity as a security officer, he kind of has different responsibilities. Fred might be able to kind of break that down a little bit more for you. But in that situation, then it would be the responsibility, and ultimately the city would need to decide whether or not that was acceptable for its officers to take that employment. But that would be the responsibility of the chief to pay that officer during off-duty times. And I agree, it's my understanding that the request is more on that pay will buy the city as far as, and really police decision, whether or not it's appropriate, whether it's necessary to have additional patrol, whether to have additional presence of law enforcement. Certainly it's appropriate for anyone to make that request, but ultimately it has to be a decision of law enforcement. It's a decision of the chief to determine whether or not that's needed, because as he indicated, it is an added expense. It's not just a matter of, oh, you've got somebody else out there. Obviously there's expenses involved with that.
Yeah, that's a good point, and we've already, budgeted for this summer. I guess we can figure out, how many nights a week. Are you talking Friday, Saturday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, certain hours, a certain number of hours a week, and just see what that overall cost would be. Aaron, what do you think about all this?
I don't have any details on numbers for you at this time.
Yeah, that would almost be something that, you know, when we start talking about budgeting, we think about for next year. What about, you know, Annie and somebody from safety and security and maybe John, I'm available too. You know, maybe have another meeting and figure out exact numbers. Go from there. I mean, I don't think the council's going to vote for anything tonight.
Well, I don't think we're ready to even ask the council to vote for anything, but yeah, yes, I would like to talk about it more along these lines. And then I'll be talking to safety and security. They'll be meeting a week from Monday. But I can say, you know, I'd be looking more even just Friday and Saturday evenings. So, yeah, maybe you and Fred and I could talk a little bit, and I could have something to bring to them. And I guess my question, Aaron, and even Michelle, is there a way that we could contribute to the cost of that without saying they're working for us? I like the idea that they're representing the police department versus, but I don't know how that works.
I was even going to say just offsetting some of the landscaping work that happens, something like that, where you bill us for things and this would be us billing you back.
I think we could be open to that, Aaron. I think that's actually a good idea. Since we never get around to billing y'all anyway half the time. Let's talk about it, then, you know, and I still need, we need Fred's input, but he needs time to think it through.
Yeah, I do. I think, Fred, you need to kind of work out in your, you know, what you think from a staffing perspective and what's going to work best for you, and because we've tossed around a lot of different things, but it really comes down to what's going to work for you.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, good. I think that sounds promising, and Annie, I want you to stay on it with Fred. I'm here if you need me. I would probably suggest getting Aaron involved because she knows all.
I said, question for John, is there a specific safety issue that is being addressing at the moment?
That's Dave McCullough, by the way.
Teenager effective summer.
It's just normal summer stuff that we see every year.
Maybe we can catch whoever keeps hitting the guest gate.
yeah. I just like it to last more than 2 days.
Was there any security, QA security, last summer?
Yes, but I would say it was useless.
Because I remember when I first moved out here, there was some sort of QA security presence, and it just seems... There isn't one now, and that's, I totally heard that.
It's changed over the years, I'd say.
It's solved.
Let's just say, individual last summer was not working.
Is there any value on some of the high traffic weekends of using specific vehicles, parking one of them, even though it's not even manned, just parking more visible spot, just so it looks like there's a presence?
In all honesty, no, because that was the biggest complaint they had about our security guy, always parked. The car never moved. So.
Okay.
I think we can put it this way, but I don't know if there's any reason that Michelle and Pete have anything to get together. We know the answer.
Okay.
So, okay, and I'm available whenever to kind of pursue this, and, you know, I'm sure with Aaron's help, we can figure something out if that's an approach you want to go. If it's Fred, you got to tell us.
Okay. Well, sounds like you guys are going to get creative and come up with something. Michelle, if they do come up with something that sounds reasonable, and they want to get it implemented before the summer, is that something that we could have a special meeting called for?
I don't know if the city council meeting the 1st of June would be fine. I mean, right now, there's less going on right here because of the COVID. July, of course.
Mm-hmm.
In August, then school starts, so we'd be looking, you know, June, July, August. I think we can wait. Go to the council and come in.
Okay.
Have a proposal to the council ahead of time so they can look at it.
That sounds good to me. Okay. Any other questions regarding that? Okay. Moving on. I'm going to go ahead and address this now. We, the city council all received an email this morning from a resident. Essentially, a resident wanted to discuss, he wanted to discuss NDAs, non-disclosure agreements. He thought that, he or she thought that the city was engaging in some sort of NDA process, and that was based off a typo error from our city council narrative. In fact, it's the typo that John Christie had amended in the minutes today. So that should have said NDO, which is a non-discriminatory ordinance. So a lot different than an NDA. That information was leaked to him, because it has not been published anywhere yet. So I would just like the council to be aware that that was leaked to that resident. We will have a response going out to him, personally, as well as some other people that were added to the email chain. But just wanted to – I'm sure you guys had questions about that email. So there's just a little bit of background without getting too much detail. Michelle, anything you want to add about that, or John? Okay. Okay, Michelle.
Make sure I'm not muted. As you see, that letter was copied to a number of individuals, including the AG and the district attorney's office. I will be following up with them just to clarify if it was a mistake in terminology. That certainly, like non-disclosure agreements. So I'll make certain that they're made aware of that. I've worked with both of those offices in the past regarding these kind of, well, regarding open meetings, allegations and that. So I'll be happy to have that conversation with them. And Councilmember Christie, we've talked about that as well. Anything that he does, you know, I'll make sure that they're made aware of that as well.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Michelle. Okay. That was all I had for my marriage report. I did have some 4th of July stuff. You know, last year we did t-shirts and hats and stuff like that. I still think we have some time to wait on that, but I just say in the next month, just kind of start brainstorming whether we should do, you know, beach towels or t-shirts or hats or something like that, you know, from the city. So start thinking about that and we'll be in touch, but that's all I have. So we will, we'll move on to city council reports, and I'm going to start with John Christie since we were just talking about that.
All right, let's see if okay, I'm unmuted. All right, yeah, on 4th of July, as Brady alluded to earlier, Brad and Brady and John Nelson and Katie Boseman as a rep from Mother's Club all met to kind of talk through what a quote-unquote normal 4th of July would look like, what a shelter-in-place 4th of July would look like, and everything in between. When we landed on, there will definitely be a parade. There will definitely be fireworks. I confirmed with the fireworks company that regardless of whatever state of opening up or closing back down or sheltering wherever we're sheltering, wherever we are in that process, that there would be fireworks, and I did get confirmation that, you know, they have every intention of fulfilling the contract.
Just, oh,
it off to be able to see who's talking. And then they can't see you, they don't want to see that. You need to turn it up, you can.
I guess kind of falls into the city's jurisdiction on the 4th of July. That we wanted to consider that, assuming Leslie Emanuels wanted to chair it and or organize it. And I've corresponded with her since that she is willing to do that. So what we know for certain right now on 4th of July is there will be a fun run. There will be a parade with perhaps a modified route and some modified rules potentially. And there will be fireworks at sundown, and all the other stuff in between, I think, is up in the air. That's really all to report there. Any thoughts, questions, input on 4th of July initiatives?
No, the only other thing we kind of discussed, and we all agreed that this is fluid and it's going to change, and, we just have to look at everything, but did you mention the beach games after the fireworks? That, you know, depending on where we're at, the idea of 200, 300 kids on the beach in close quarters, you know, probably isn't the best thing, but we just have to wait and see where we're at, so.
Kansas, but now with that additional clarity, we can certainly fall within those guidelines and restrictions as they evolve over the coming weeks. As probably most of you know, that the dam is part of my responsibility. I know it seemed like everybody was having some issues with Hill's internet connection, but he and I have been in touch over the past couple of weeks, and to put it mildly, he makes my that area of responsibilities substantially easier, and he's on top of all of it. And even if he didn't get his full report in a succinct fashion, I can assure you that we're in good shape on that. And then, as it relates to the letter, I'm assuming most everyone has had a chance to read it. As Brady indicated, it was based on the unapproved narrative versus approved minutes. The person that wrote it was obviously granted access to that before the rest of us. Unfortunately, instead of making a quick phone call, which would have probably saved dozens of man hours, created that four-page letter. I'm not quite done, but I am awfully close to being done with the response. So I'm going to make sure city attorney has a chance to review it before I respond with that, and I will certainly make sure it goes out to the resident and the district attorney and the attorney general and the other 12 people that were copied in on it. And it was also brought to my attention that the typo was going to hit the Quivirin, but I think we have that stopped, and I'm hopeful that we do. And this is just quite the reminder that sometimes a quick phone call is a good path. But I think that situation flared out, but it'll be under control in pretty short order. So does anybody have any questions? I've had multiple conversations with Michelle and Brady and others today. Does anyone have any questions regarding that or anything they want more clarity on?
So is the response then from you, John, or should it come from Michelle?
I am going to respond to the resident. It was directed at me, and I will not respond without Michelle having the opportunity to look it over. Then the plan of an action is very appropriately, in my opinion, that Michelle will take my response and then write a more legal response to the district attorney and the attorney general and the multiple other attorneys that were copied in on the letter, just saying, as you can see from the attached, there were no issues with the Kansas Open Meetings Act, the Kansas Open Records Act, and in fact, this resident chose, rather than wait 48 hours to have approved minutes to work off of, chose to work off of unapproved minutes. And, unfortunately made a messy situation that was completely and totally unnecessary. I guess, and Michelle, feel free to jump in. I think there will be a, so I guess to answer your question, Annie, there will be a response for both of us.
Yeah, if I could just comment. Annie, we had talked about that a little bit today, what was going to be the best approach. And when we were first looking at the letter, before we really grasped that we were just literally talking about a misunderstanding in terminology here, at first it was, well, gosh, we need to make sure that it's clear that the city has not violated the Open Meetings Act. By all means, we have not. Then when we discovered that it was based on, mistaken language, then we felt like it made the most sense for John to go ahead and do the response. He can just clarify with this individual, look, the language was wrong, there was a mistake, these were unapproved minutes, and then just go from there. He can at least respond to what that was addressed to him, but I 100% agree that I think it's appropriate then to have the legal side of it, just to make certain that the AG's office and the DA's office fully understand that, yes, the city of Lake Quivira is aware of the responsibility it has to meet in open sessions. And the irony of this is we actually spoke last month when we were discussing the non-discrimination ordinance in an open meeting. We discussed the need to kind of delay the conversation until people were able to come to City Hall if they so chose, because we want to give people as much opportunity to give feedback and input on something that's this important. And so it's kind of ironic to me that there's accusations of violations of the Open Meeting Act when in reality we could be having a discussion tonight, you all could be making a decision, you could be voting on it, we could be passing something, but instead the city of Lake Quivira is saying, no, we want to give extra opportunity to our citizens, and then a letter like this comes out. So a little ironic, but in light of that, I'm going to point all that out to the AG's office and the district attorney's office so that they have absolutely no concern that laws are being abided by and that you all are proceeding as you should be.
This is Dave McCullough. I have a question probably more for Michelle. As far as the handling of the information itself, does that fall under any kind of privilege or anything like that as far as is it allowed to be privately exchanged before it's publicly available?
The information, until it is voted on by you all at a public meeting, it is a draft, period. That's all it is. It is not official. It's not an official act of the city. And so really, and this is something that we talked about a little bit, I don't know, a couple months ago, about what information should be put out publicly before it's official. And it's something that, that Brady and I have been visiting about a little bit and with John today, but kind of that very issue is, it's important that the city get information out to the community. And I think there's a true desire, and I know this predates my involvement at the city, a desire to have transparency with information. But the difficulty is, if that information gets out there before it's officially approved, and in this case, before it's corrected, then it becomes a problem, or it could become a problem. And apparently for this particular resident, it was a problem or a concern. So, the information was put out there. you know, Mayor, I don't know if you want to speak to that at all, but from a legality standpoint, you know, the information was presented to someone, and then that person somehow must have conveyed that information elsewhere. So legally, you know, we provided that information as a city, but it was not officially city minutes. I'm just kind of talking in circles here.
Can I jump in for a second? I had a very spirited conversation this afternoon and brought that very question up and was quickly rebuffed with that the spirit of journalistic integrity would allow a person to seek opinions of others prior to publishment of these types of items. I did not agree with that assessment, but that was the general feeling was that it was done to help the journalistic process, and that there was nothing done that was that was inappropriate from an information obtaining and sharing capacity.
Well, and Dave, maybe the better answer to your question is the information was not confidential. So from that standpoint, the city didn't share confidential information, and then that was taken and misconstrued or anything like that. So that's right. And then it becomes an issue of journalistic integrity, et cetera. The unfortunate aspect of this is the fact that it's what we've talked about before. They're not finalized minutes. And so that's the difficulty. And that's the hesitancy in putting information out prior to it being officially approved by the council. Because had that information not gone out until after tonight, it would have already been corrected. There wouldn't have been any confusion. No one would have suspected the city of any non-discrimination agreement because there never was a non-discrimination agreement, and the minutes would have so reflected. So,
Michelle, as we did about 15 times today, you meant non-disclosure agreement there, not non-discriminatory agreement.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is that there never was, I don't know what I said, but there never was a non-disclosure agreement. That's correct. There never was one. See, we're doing it. NDA. But right, so there never was one. There never would have been minutes that would have been put out saying non-disclosure agreement. It would have said non-discriminatory witness. My gosh. We really need to change the name of that thing.
Yeah, we do. That's happened too many times today. Yeah, I guess somebody asked my opinion. I'm disappointed in the way it happened. I read some articles today when it talks about, just newspaper editor codes of ethics. One of them said, journalists must avoid impropriety and the appearance of impropriety as well as any conflict of interest or the appearance of conflict. They should neither accept anything nor pursue any activity that might compromise or seem to compromise their integrity. To me, the way this happened, it was done intentionally. Before this information was presented to the public, it was presented to a resident. In my opinion, specifically to get ahead of the meeting, to present this so it would be discussed about. I've got a bad taste in my mouth about it. I've got some bitter feelings over how this all went down and plan on talking to some people here in the next couple days. And then we as a council might have a decision to make. We did decide today, Michelle and I did, and I've let Kathy know that we're no longer going to do the narrative in the Quivirin. We can still post just the minutes to our website. If people want to request them, they can. We're going to do that. So then it kind of comes down to we've got 2 pages, maybe even more sometimes, that we're paying $350 a month for. And if we're taking the narrative out and the only thing from the city that's going in there every month is the mayor's report, you know, $350 a month isn't cheap, especially in a situation where you kind of feel like you got blindsided with something. So let's let John write his letter. Michelle, reach out, write their letters, and I'll reach out to some people, and we'll revisit this. But I want you guys to think about it for the next meeting, and I'll have more information for you. And but since we're on that subject, by the way, the Quivira newsletter that went out today was pretty cool, John. It was neat.
Yeah, very well done.
So, anything else? John, anything else under your area of responsibility?
Cookie cake you're watching me eat is delicious, but I am done with my council report.
Okay, thanks, John. Moving on, we'll just go down. We'll go to Dave McCullough. How's that?
Okay. Mine is primarily about the fuel station. Last time I mentioned that we were going to meet with Double Check to go over the computer system that's in the back room to figure out how we could, if that's something that the that Kathy and Fred could possibly take on, and what was involved with actually running the back office side of the fuel station. And we had a really good meeting. Actually, Terry Presta came out and helped walk us through that as well. Just a very high-level view is that in order to get certified with the state to run the fuel station, there is training that needs to be done. Learned a lot of acronyms, but we need to, the people who will run it for the city would need to go through PMCA training A and B, which I didn't even know that was a thing. They offer three classes in the month of May, the 19th, 20th, and 21st. They are free. They're all day. They're 8 to 4. One of them is in Lawrence, one's in Topeka, and one's in Hutchinson. So if we have I was planning on going to one. Kathy, I think, was going to see if that fit into her schedule, maybe Fred, too, to see if we could get at least an idea of what was involved in it, and then we could go forward from there with that information. So we're all comfortable with how the computer system works in back. Hopefully, I haven't checked in with Kathy yet. She's supposed to be getting daily reports on the usage, the number of the gallons of sales and things like that. So yeah, we need to make sure we have state compliance to run it, and we also need to know how to measure the fuel with a giant stick that Fred knows how to do. So we're moving forward on making sure that we know how to run a fuel station, and once we have that training, we'll know what our next steps might be. But it'd be, I think it's something that we certainly can do. Fred and Kathy are both very open, taking on that responsibility, and I'm eager to learn how to run a gas station. So,
well, good.
I don't really have updates on waste management as far as the new cell. Nothing there. So, and also, nothing to report on the video I need to work with Mayor Mike about how to recycle properly. So the fuel station stuff is moving ahead nicely.
Good. Yeah, you've been doing a lot of work on that fuel station. Do you feel, you know, pretty positive of the direction it's headed?
I do.
Okay.
I certainly feel like it's something we can manage. I'm a cheap person by nature, and I know we have a lot of expenses coming up with the fuel station, and I just would like to be able to at least break even on it. You know, it needs a lot of maintenance and updates aesthetically and also with the technology. So I just feel like this is a good way to manage that. I want to be really conscious of how we spend our tax money and if there's a way to help bring in some revenue. But as far as time spent managing it, there's not a – other than ordering the fuel and handling some of the back office stuff, we're doing most of it already. We're paying all the bills. We own it. We're on the hook if anything goes wrong with it. So we might as well be getting some of the revenue from it.
Yeah. Okay. I'll let you know about those dates. I might go one of those dates as well. Definitely not going to Hutchison. So,
go to the Cosmosphere.
Yeah. And then, the further along we get, we might need to get with Michelle and see, you know, what's it take for a city to run a gas station, to run a business. But thanks for doing that, Dave. I know you've been working hard on it. Appreciate it. Okay. Anything else? That's it. All right. Gail Best.
Okay. The first thing I wanted to talk about that's in my area of responsibility is the area in the dump, where the dump is, where we have the yard waste and the recycle areas and the, along with the glass, the rural glass. At our March 2nd meeting, we had a long discussion about that area and the fact that it always has issues with people just dumping whatever they want there and not putting things in the bins and all that properly. And so in that meeting, we said, okay, let's do something first. Let's get some signage that actually they're very clear and bright and clear, and it's very specific as far as what's allowed and not allowed there. And so, unfortunately, I was going to be gone for a week and then ended up being gone for a long time, but the signs were picked up right after I got back, Kim and I got back, and they were put up by Dave and I. And so, right now, we're in waiting to see if, in fact, people will follow the signs along with everything that gets posted on our website and the Facebook things that Brady has put out. I think we're all hoping, aren't we, that the signage works and the people really understand that there's a lot of work that goes into maintaining that area.
Yeah.
So that's that area. And I know at one point we were going to look at other options like every other week, recycling and things like that, but we decided to give this a couple of months, I believe, to see how things went. Do you have anything to add to that, Brady?
No, I don't. I think it's already starting to look better and people are starting to catch on. I do have a question for Michelle. If we decided to put one or two security cameras up there, how does that work, it being private property and all that stuff?
Let me look into it.
Okay.
I'm probably going to need a little bit more details on that, too.
Okay.
If we could talk about that, if I could just get some more facts on it, then I'll be happy to look into that.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, thanks, Michelle. The next area is... the holiday, I'm responsible for Holiday Drive and the beautification of Holiday Drive. And I may have missed out on something at the last meeting that I wasn't at. And I know that, and maybe in that meeting there was, I don't think there was though, because I didn't see it in the minutes. Is there any status on the drainage project? Or maybe that's what, Greg, are you going to talk about that? Not right now, but I mean, are you going to talk about the drainage project in your report?
No, we have. Were you there when the Olson came over?
Yep. Uh huh.
Okay. Not a whole lot of clear.
Okay. So anyway, basically, there's a drainage project. There's some drainage problems there, and basically, Holiday Drive. Where a lot of times it gets overgrown and all of that. We're just waiting to see what the long-term solution is so that before we actually try to beautify and do some other things with Holiday Drive, we actually solve the drainage problem and the mud problem and all of that. So, but along with Holiday Drive, I did want to point out some of you probably noticed that we approved this 2 months ago, the replacement basically of all the old landscaping at what we call Gas Station Island. And Lori Keller and her crew have done a great job. The city has purchased all the landscaping for that, and it's all been installed, and it looks great and fresh and modern, and anyway, we're real happy with that. It gives us just a better look as we drive in. The other thing is the bathrooms, the two bathrooms. When I've been involved with Fred on this project, Fred's done a great job. When I left, I gave Fred three samples of paint, and I said, I think I like this one. And I came home, and a couple days ago, I went in, and thank God, because I walked in, it was like, oh my gosh, it's all painted. But it was the right color, and it looks great. At the last minute, we had to replace the granite countertops that were ordered because there wasn't enough square footage of that to go there. And so I think it turned out real great. And once all the stores open up, then I'll be able to go out and purchase mirrors for the bathrooms. And Ron Bauer has put out a Dropbox for me that's got all kinds of cool Lake Quivira city-related photos. Unfortunately, the frames that I ordered from Hobby Lobby are sitting in Hobby Lobby, and that place is still closed. So anyway, I would suspect in a month, by the next meeting, that bathroom will be all decorated up and look great, and that project will be done. And thanks again to Fred for everything that he did there. And I think that's all I have on my list. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Gail, for everything you do. And yeah, that front entry looks
great. Beautiful.
Oh, I'm on. I don't need it. Yeah, thank you, Gail. Appreciate everything you do. That front entry little area looks great. So keep it up, and it's good to have you back.
Thank you.
You bet. Greg, moving on to you.
I don't really have a whole lot to report. If you do, we need someone to meet with you on, is it Wednesday? Is it Wednesday your meeting?
Yes.
If you want me to, I'd be more than happy to.
Okay.
But last time I emailed someone from Wyandotte, my response back was they want to talk to the mayor. So, and my pay grade's not high enough, so I passed that on Brady there. So,
technically, we have the same pay grade, but.
So if you want me to join in, I'd be happy to.
Yeah, I might take you up on that.
This first month, I've not gotten a erosion control complaint, so that was kind of a
nice
victory.
That's a huge victory compared to the complaints that you were getting every other day and weekends.
Dave and I are also on the Architecture Review Committee for QWINC, so it is nice being able to see projects coming online if there's going to be erosion control complaints coming down the pipeline. So far the projects have been pretty minimal on architecture review. So
gotcha.
I think there is going to be a new one. Someone bought that. Maybe John knows more about this one. Bought something from QWINC on the south end over by Leon Ricky's house. So I've not seen anything on it yet, but I heard that one's coming down the pipeline.
Oh, that's up on Mojave or?
Yes.
Yeah, it's I haven't heard anything on it, but yes, that last lot is sold.
Yeah, Greg, the only thing I would mention is, you know, Gail mentioned the drainage issue on Holiday that Olson, you know, gave us the presentation for us. I think we left off with that. It would be a combined effort with QWINC. We would do our part first. QWINC would then do their part. But at the time we were talking about $160,000 for Holiday Drive that we could have been on the hook for. And with Wyandotte County now kind of hopefully getting moving on that, then I think now might be a good time to kind of reach back out to Chad and maybe start planning when and how we're going to do this. I'm not saying right away. Let's wait till we hear from Wyandotte County, but maybe by next month you have a little update from Chad on that.
Okay.
Yeah, can't think anything else. That's it?
I got it.
All right, thanks, Greg. Where's Annie Noland?
Here.
All right.
Yeah, I don't have
detail with them to really kind of understand better all that they do, how sort of realign now that, you know, we've got Kathy on board. She's ready to take on more. I think Fred's ready to move some things out of his area, which is good. So I think that's kind of next steps, is to kind of put some things around and start some training and the permitting and it's that area that Fred's currently responsible for. So thank you guys for taking the time to meet with Brady and I, because I think they were very useful and constructive conversations and an important part of just your ongoing development. You guys don't really get a lot of feedback, I don't think, you know, formal feedback, so I thought it was a good exercise, so thank you. The only other thing I was going to say is Brady and I had a foundation meeting since our last council session, and that's always a great, I think it's just a great way for us as a city to partner with yet another group and figure out some great projects that we can undertake. We started a list now of kind of that next, maybe what are the next ideas, and Brady had several different things that we've talked about here, some extensions to the front entry, like the pavement area. I think we talked about the light fixtures on Holiday. I mean, there's just a lot of different things that we've talked about as a city that the foundation is also talking about that we might be able to work together to figure out what is the next. The spillway project is another possibility that Bill brought up as, you know, something. So anyway, I just encourage everybody to kind of think outside the box of different projects that are coming along that we might be able to work together on and move forward. This also, the Cuvier Cares program, you guys are all involved in it in some respect, just being a great corporate citizen of Cuvier. We've raised almost $50,000 for the employees of Cuvier, which is phenomenal. We've dispersed $22,000, and John's working really closely with the staff to make sure we've got that, you know, everyone taken care of. So it's been very successful, and thanks to everyone who's participated in that. And that's all I have. I'm looking forward to working with Fred and everything, and John on the security piece. That's kind of my next big thing.
Okay. Thanks, Danny. Thanks for everything you do, for setting up all those meetings and, you know, the foundation stuff as well, and kind of, you've been a really, really good liaison, and John as well, between the city and Q Inc. Feel like we're working really well together. So thank you guys for that. Is there any old business that anybody would like to talk about?
A big thank you for Kathy. We had an email from a resident who once Evergy replaced their street light, new LED lights, it was extremely bright and shining into their house, and they were having a hard time sleeping. They contacted Evergy, got nowhere. I did some digging on it. Some cities own their own street lights. Others, the utility owns them. Evergy owns our street lights. And so I asked Kathy if she could follow up and use the hammer of the city clerk title, and they came out and fixed it. So Kathy, great job. The Pribbles can now sleep.
Thank you.
At least you, Danny. I don't know if Patrick ever does. But it was great just to see her get it done, and it was she does a great job, and she really did a great job then getting it taken care of. So hats off to her.
Yeah, well said. I agree. She's good at getting stuff done for sure. She's a doer, so keep her in mind because she is really great at that stuff. She said thank you, by the way, Dave. All right. Anybody else got anything?
The only thing else I would add is on the non-discriminatory ordinance, as discussed last month, that is a topic that we would want the public to have as accessible, the most accessible ability to opine on it. And so That is something we do want to revisit, but hopefully we can delay that a couple of months so that that can be more easily facilitated by a regular in-person meeting. So
yeah,
let's kick that can down the road for another month or two.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Absolutely. Okay. I would just ask you guys to make sure you read over that rough draft that John Nelson sent to us. It should come from Kathy, and get an answer back to John or me or Kathy or somebody here pretty quick so they can get that done. And thank you guys for doing that. And then also, you know, think about our newspaper situation. Yeah, we'll talk about that again in June. Anything else? I'm planning on probably opening City Hall on the 11th, which I'm allowed, I think we're allowed to do. I don't know if we'll be able to have BZA Planning Commission meeting. That might be via Zoom, but we'll be opening up City Hall on the 11th. At least that's the plan. So if you guys have any questions or anything to talk about, call me. You can always call down here and talk to Kathy. And yeah, that's all I can think of. Anything else? Yep, Aaron?
Do you want to go through budget stuff, just roughly?
I don't, but you do. Sorry, I totally forgot. It wasn't on my agenda.
Nope, you're good.
Yeah, let's go through that real quick. Do we have any?
So all I wanted to say was in the treasurer's documents that I sent out, I also sent out two little starter budget documents to start looking at. One of them is a question that normally comes up. The whole goal in the budget planning is to set our ad valorem, our property tax revenue that we get. That's what we're getting at. And the way that we do that is setting our mill levy. So one of the questions that always pops up is, if we raise the mill levy or lower the mill levy, how does that affect an individual homeowner? And so I sent out, it's been a couple years since I sent this out to Gail and John and Brady, and so I just sent it to everyone, just a quick little document, how to calculate one mill. So that kind of shows you, the one that I sent out is based on a $100,000 house, but it's just simple math for to see how us raising or lowering the mill would affect an individual homeowner. Did everyone have a chance to look over that document? Are there any questions there, or is that pretty self-explanatory, I hope?
I thought it was good, Aaron, now that I know you gave that to John and I when we were probably the very first meeting we were at or something. And it was really good to go over and to see how this really works and stuff. And I would like you to maybe tell us, I know we don't, it looks like since 17, 18, 19, 20, our mill levy has been the same, and I know we're real proud that ours is the lowest, I think, in the entire greater Kansas City area. I think it is the lowest.
Third lowest in Johnson County.
In Johnson County, okay. And I know this comes up from, I've heard it come up from time to time where people are asking us, well, why wouldn't we just increase our mill levy just a little bit to, you know, then we would get more revenue and then maybe we could, you know, have a little bit more money for some of these larger projects that may be facing us. And so is there an overall thought process about what we should be doing? Is it good to have the lowest mill levy? I mean, or is there, what are the general guidelines for a city council in looking through all of this? And I know that you really watch over all the numbers to make sure that our mill levy stays, you know, kind of where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, but just a little background. We are the third lowest, like Gail said. The only ones that are lower than us are Overland Park, which I think their mill is like 13-something still. And then Mission Woods, which they're right around ours, 16-ish.
one of the things that always seems to pop up for us is just the fact of our HOA windows, for lack of better terms. The fact that living in Lake Superior, yes, it's not going to have that much on property taxes because you have the additional expense that is paid every month to being a member of Ewing. And so that's always one of the things that we've looked into. One of the others that we've looked into over recent years, when they enacted the tax lift bill through the state of Kansas, one of the things that if we did want to raise the mill, we could raise it up to what we're allowed to do in utilizing some of our police and fire expenses. So we could raise it by a little bit without needing a vote. But if we decided to go up by much higher, the state of Kansas now requires there to be a vote of citizens. And so there is a little bit of an added expense of how we would host that election and whether or not that would be something that would pass. If you do host an election, then you're required to submit two different budgets to the state, one for if it passed and one for if it did not. So that is something else to take into consideration when we are trying to set these budget numbers. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
And so is the timeline still the same if we have the vote?
There's three different dates that they kind of go for treasurers for budget planning. The first one was May 1st, and I'm supposed to receive our motor vehicle numbers from both Johnson and Wyandup counties. And it's May 4th, and I still have not received either of those. So it's, that is, yes, for now, the numbers are the dates are the same, but that is something that could be to be determined, considering that Johnson County just came out with the announcement a couple weeks ago about delaying property taxes for the ones that were due in May. So they have not changed city treasurer budget due dates as of this point.
Yeah. I think, Gail, to answer your question about, you know, years
Brady,
past.
You're muted.
I am, sorry. Okay, Brady here. Sorry, Gail. I think to answer your question, I think in the last, you know, 7-8 years, we've had a pretty conservative council and judge and staff, and we've just, you know, kind of prided ourselves on that. Having said that, I'm not opposed to raising mill levies, especially with several projects that we have going on. But you know, that's why you guys are in. You guys are the council, so this is something that you need to think about. You need to get with Erin. She'll be able to tell you, okay, if we raise our mill levy to here, how much money are we actually gaining? That type of stuff. She can answer any of those questions. Maybe talk to neighbors. I know some people are all for raising taxes and mill levies and spending that money, and some people are not. So to gauge the neighborhood would be a good idea. So let's start doing that as well, because if we do have to do this and it comes to a vote, we've got to have this thing done by August, correct? I mean,
correct.
Yeah.
Well, and I wasn't necessarily saying that we that I'm a complete proponent of raising taxes and all that. I was trying to understand it. And it sounds like, I mean, when I did the, it looks like our average home value is like $660,000 or something like that. When you, if I did the math right, and so, you know, when you increased it. I mean, it's not like it goes up real fast or anything. So, you know, I was just trying to figure it out today as I was looking at this. Well, gosh, you know, why wouldn't we maybe consider this? But then how much would that really bring us, and what does that get us in the end? You know, because we've got our reserve funds and we're very conservative and all of this. So I was just trying to understand it.
Yeah.
But I think probably every council tries to understand this.
Well, and we've also run into the problem the past couple of years where if you ask, not to say the average resident, but I'm sure if you ask some of our residents, they would say, oh, well, you did raise it in the past couple of years because I've had to pay more in property taxes. Not necessarily. That might be due to the fact that home values have increased over the past couple of years as well. And if that's a trend that we don't see anymore,
that's the reason we've been able to set it at the 17-ish percent for mill levy for the past couple of years and still see the allowed amount that we can spend go up because our assessed valuation number has gone up. If that continues, then that trend will continue. If the day comes where our assessed valuations do not go up or if they start going down a little bit quicker, like we saw in, say, 2008 or any other time that are similar, then those are numbers that we would not be able to spend the same amount that we had in years past and would have to adjust those.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, well said, Aaron. Yeah. Well said. Okay.
Okay, so that would be the how to calculate the mill. And if any other questions pop up regarding that, just let me know if there's something that someone doesn't understand or if you have a particular value that you want me to go over for the next one, then we can go into that as well. The other one is our budget worksheet, and I apologize, I just noticed that it says 2018 at the top. I forgot to correct my header there, but other than that, so this gives you our budget versus actual. This is a document that I give to the council and mayor every single time we do budget planning, and it shows you the budget versus actual for the past 3 years. So it has 17, 18, and 19 budget versus actual. Then it has 20 year-to-date, what we spent through April 30th, and then the 2020 budget for the year. And then the draft 2021 are the numbers that we will work over the next couple of months to fill in. I don't want to go in line by line. We will do that next month, and we'll do that again in July. For tonight, I want you to kind of pay attention. Just go through that document at some point over the next couple of weeks for the items that you guys are in charge of. This is where I rely on the council. I kind of plugged in some numbers because I can look at past trends over the past year or so, see past budget numbers, see what we had actually coming in, those kind of things, and kind of estimate where we would be. But any of those numbers can be adjusted. So if you see something and you say, for example, what's the one for Yale, if she switches over and looks at item 50337, so it would be at the bottom of page 2 for mowing and landscaping, and she thinks, oh, there's two different projects that I want to work on next year. I want to put 5,000 extra into it. Those are the kinds of things that I'm requesting that you guys as council members look into your areas of responsibility and see if there's anything that you can see coming up that's something that you want to talk about. Even if it's just playing around, if you want, John wants an extra $200,000 to go towards Spillway for the big master project or something. These are the times that you need to start looking at those kind of things so that we can start adjusting some of those numbers. Most of the ones on page 1 are revenue numbers that we get either from the county, from the league. Some of them are numbers that we put together, like the dog permits or the building permits, or how much we think we're going to receive in court fines, for example. But most of the other ones we receive from the county. And remember, what we're doing by setting our mill levy is setting the Johnson County ad valorem and the Wyandotte County ad valorem. Looking at page 2, 3, and 4, it's more where I want you guys to kind of flip through them. And just if there's anything that you see that you're like, oh, I think that number's, that was a big project this year, that's not going to be a big one next year, or vice versa, just let me know. And then next month we'll kind of do a deeper dive into this. I just wanted this to be kind of an overview and to help answer any questions that you guys have.
Yeah, so for example, say the gas station research goes really well, but maybe we need to put some money up front or, you know, make some repairs. Dave would have a decent idea of, okay, in 2021, we're going to need to spend this much. He can also have an idea maybe by then on revenue. Greg, for instance, for you, if we decide to do the holiday drive drainage or Gail or whoever it was, with Q Inc., you know, that might be something where Greg says, okay, we've got the price for this. Let's, you know, try and budget for it to get it done in 2021, that type of stuff. Does that make sense?
And just to say, by answering some of these line item type questions,
That kind of answers Gail's question as well. If every single council member is looking at it, Fred's looking at his section, if all of us are taking a look at the budget and we're like, oh, this really isn't enough, that would kind of provide an answer as well if we needed to raise or somehow adjust the mill levy to be able to cover some of the things. That question usually answers itself by the time this all plays out.
Yeah.
But what we're doing during this time period, what we eventually want to do, we put those numbers into a program, and that program sits out our mill levy. That gives us the spending authority to be able to use those dollars towards the projects that we want to do during the next calendar year.
Yeah.
And that's about as far as I want to go tonight, unless someone has anything else they wanted to talk about.
Now just real quick, this is, I could have waited, but under emergency exit, I noticed that 4 or 5 years in a row, we didn't spend any money. And then maybe in 2020, we budgeted for $5,000, thinking that maybe there might be some maintenance that could come up. To my knowledge, there hasn't been any yet. And if there's not, what happens to that $5,000? Refresh my memory.
So that $5,000 will still stay there, or it'll stay in the reserve fund, period.
Okay.
So that if we don't spend it there, and then Greg finds out he needs $5,000 extra for a repaving project or some kind of road improvement, it just takes a simple council motion and vote in order to move that $5,000. But it doesn't leave.
Okay. And we can use that in 2021?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yep, yep. Yeah, that's a good point, Brady. Once again, just a FYI for the newbie council members and then also for the existing, just a reminder, the ones that are in any of the categories until the 5, 6, and 5, 7, that's numbers that we cannot carry forward. For example, going back to Gail's beautification project, she puts $100,000 into mowing and landscaping for 2021 and only spends $20,000 of it. We do not get to keep the other 80, but if she puts it in one of the reserve funds in the 5, 6s or 5, 7s, if she puts $100,000 in there and only spends 20, then she would still have 80 that would carry forward. So if there's long-term things that you're thinking of, let me know, and we can put those more towards the reserve, or that's usually what we do with any extra money. We put it in an allocated reserve, 5, 6, 0, 9, 5. It's easier to put things there than to be able to have a little bit more leeway to spend them as opposed to any of the rest of the categories.
Sounds good. Any questions for Aaron? Next month we'll definitely be, hopefully we're together next month. I think that'll be important for that budget meeting. It'll be a lot easier and a lot quicker. So it looks like we're on pace to be able to do that, but we'll wait and see. So, okay. Anything else from anybody? Okay. Well, if there's nothing else, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
I got one. We got a motion. I've got a second.
No,
Aaron,
second.
That's circus. Who was the second? Was that Gail?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll third.
All right. Okay. Any discussion, guys? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Lake Wivera, May 4th council meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Did you notice there was somebody on there that it just said Samsung?
That's probably me.
Oh, did I kick you off?
Yeah, I saw, but it was towards the end of the meeting, and I saw it leave the meeting, but.
Well, and then there was another name,
Brooding or something?
Yeah, something.
That's
it is?
Yeah.
So I just had a feeling that Mark Jacobs was going to get on.
Is that who
sent the letter?
Yeah.
Have you read the letter?
No.
I emailed it
to you.
Well,
I was didn't want to
yeah.
go back and forth. Went back and
could
forth
I read out. The letter or should I not read the letter?
Oh, have you not seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll forward it to you, yeah. Just gonna say, where's my iPad? So Lena Walters gets my narrative. You're not gonna believe this. She gets my narrative, and we get a letter from Mark Jacobs with the attorney general, district attorney, seven other attorneys, the whole council, and it's talking about this. Oops, sorry.